Well, pull this string around. Pull that around. Gets hung on my shoulder. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Conrado.
You got it.
Practice. Brother Conrado Quinti.
Quinto.
Next year I'll get that. Last week, Brother Corrado brought a good message on immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. I asked him, suggested to him, that he might want to consider sharing some things about his testimony to us. One of the things that he didn't bring out was that he was reared a Catholic. And by, he was 81. He came to know something about the way of salvation. Last week, I challenged Brother Conrado personally for steadfastness. Be faithful. This morning, I want to just speak to you some from the 8th chapter of Romans. 8th chapter of Romans. Very controversial part of Scripture. Very critical. 7th chapter, Brother David read. That part of Scripture also is controversial. Some believe that Paul was referring to his experience as an unregenerated person. Well, you have to be regenerated to have a conflict with the flesh. As long as you are not born again, it doesn't bother you how you live. Except maybe your parents or your friends or your neighbors. It's all your interests, is trying to please them and yourself. But when you're born from above by the Holy Spirit of God, God puts a new nature in your heart. Gives you a new nature. That's when the conflict begins. The very mark of regeneration is opposition to truth, opposition to righteousness. It began, be made manifested, when Cain slew Abel. Abel was a godly man, Cain was an ungodly person. That conflict has been going on in the world ever since the Garden of Eden. But it goes on in the heart and life of every born-again child of God. A conflict between the flesh and the spirit. One old preacher was being asked about that, and he said, it's like two dogs fighting. Someone said, which dog wins? He said, the one I feed the most. Well, there's some understanding about that. Your spiritual nature needs nourishment and strength. If you neglect the means of spiritual growth. Note I said the word the means. If you neglect them, you can expect to become spiritually sick. It is the parallel to your physical condition. If you don't eat proper foods, you don't get proper rest, your body is subject to get sick. Your resistance breaks down, and you become sick. Christian people can get sick spiritually and physically. They get sick spiritually, and then it manifests itself in spiritual and physical sickness. Now, I don't mean to say that all sickness is because someone is not living Christian life. But rather, Paul in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians said, for this reason, some among you are weak, and some sick, and some sleep. They were disobeying the word of God. But as Brother David properly pointed out, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. I like what the Lord said to Israel in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. the marked difference between biblical Christianity, biblical theology, is what we believe about the origin of truth and the cause, the great cause of all things. Now, God is not the author of sin, but he is the cause of restraining sin. The cause of restraining sin. The wrath of men shall praise him. Psalm 78, I believe it is, verse 10. The wrath of men shall praise him, and the remainder of he shall restrain. I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for the power of God in the world today, we would be living in the midst of a conflict, chaos, worldwide. The powers would be ordained of God. 13th chapter of Romans. Why are they ordained by God? They're ordained by God for our good, to control the wicked. I believe in capital punishment. I pray for the policemen. I encourage them. You should. Every time I see a policeman, if I can, I tell him, I'm praying for you. Thank God for what you're doing. You are a minister of God. To hold back the forces of wickedness and evil. That's the reason why they're trying to defund the policemen in our cities in America today. And every one of those cities where the policemen are being defunded, crime and lawlessness is abounding. I thank God that they recalled the prosecuting attorney in the state of California. I'm glad that was done. I don't know the man personally, but I know his philosophy of life. He believes in not punishing criminals. And crime is abounding in California because of it. And so they got their heads on right finally in California, and they voted him out. We all have this conflict of the flesh. I'm talking about God's people. And that spiritual conflict, God Almighty controls it. Because it says in Romans the 8th chapter, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. There is an ongoing development, maturing, in the heart and life of every born-again child of God. If not, God does something. I was thinking about this yesterday. My wife has two blueberry bushes, and she was out, and we were out picking some blueberries off of that bush, and I was pruning some things off of it. She said, "Oh, it's the wrong time to prune them." I said, "No, it's about time to prune them, because I can tell which ones are suckers and which ones are bearing fruit." Many professing Christians are nothing more than spiritual suckers. By that I mean they're just riding the wagon, but they're not producing any fruit. They're not living godly lives. They have no testimony. They are just head Christians. God will prune them out in due time. Churches may have to discipline because they're not living godly lives. But I will tell you, the time will come, whether the church does or not, God Almighty will do that. Psalms chapter 1 will tell you that the ungodly shall not stand in the house and the congregation of the godly. But God has purposed for every one of us who've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ came and died for us to redeem us from our sins. And the Holy Spirit of God, at God's appointed time, worked a work in our heart and lives, regenerating us, causing us to hear, enabling us to hear the gospel of our salvation. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, says, "The seeing eye or the hearing ear and the seeing eye, they both are the Lord." Spiritually speaking, you cannot understand the things of God until the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in your heart and life. And that beginning to work in your heart and life is manifested by a resistance, natural resistance, ungodly resistance against that which is right. Until the Holy Spirit is pleased to bring complete conversion in your life. That conversion is ongoing. The Lord told Peter, "Satan hath desired thee that he might sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, that thy faith would fail not. Now, every born-again child has God's imparted faith. Faith is the gift of God. It comes to us by God. It is nurtured by God. It is maintained by God. Maintained by God. Faithful he that has begun the good work in you, he will continue to do it. Your faith is not going to die out. When I mean your faith, that God-given faith that God put in your heart by regeneration, it won't die out. But because God has purposed that we all would come to a conformity by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God and by various means be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, how is God doing that? Well, the 8th chapter of Romans. Paul will tell you, we have been conformed. The Holy Spirit, he talks about the Holy Spirit in this chapter. But he says, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. Now, why does Paul say that? Well, because it's true. Holy Spirit of God has inspired him to write this. This is not a lie. Paul is not deceived. He's not preaching the truth. He's telling the truth. We know that all things work together for good. He's not talking about physical good. He's talking about spiritual good. He's not talking about circumstances. He's talking about our spiritual good. What is that spiritual good? Well, you'll find what that spiritual good is. It is in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God is doing in all of our lives. Whatever our background is, I'm a hillbilly from West Virginia. The Conrados are born Catholic from in the Philippines. Some of you are native Mississippians. Some are Alabamians. People all over the world, it makes no difference wherever God's elect are. We all have a common background, which is we are born dead in trespasses and sins. But we are chosen in Christ unto salvation. Christ died for us. The Holy Spirit of God will regenerate us because God is predestined. That's what it says here. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And if you don't like that doctrine of predestination, look what you're cutting out. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God is doing in all the lives of his elect people. He will be successful in doing that. Now, it is not going to happen here in time. It won't happen in time that we'll be 100% conformed to the image of the Son. It's not going to happen until the Lord comes. When we are glorified. Paul will talk about that in the 3rd chapter of the book of Philippians. When he shall appear, we shall see his glory. We shall be like him. Let me just read the 3rd chapter of Philippians. Who shall change our vile bodies, verse 21, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. God is working in all of us, not our physical bodies, but our spiritual bodies, and he will ultimately conform us manifestedly to be glorified like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, the word all things there, let's cut it out. And there are people who do that. They cut out the word all things in other parts of the Bible. Paul is being led by the Holy Spirit of God to talk about everything. He subdues all things. He is a prince. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is ruler in heaven and in earth. Nebuchadnezzar learned that. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the heavens and earth, and none can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? So whatever God has purposed, he said, as I have thought it, so shall it come to pass. Whatever God has purposed, it's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know one thing. I know that whatever happened yesterday was by the will of God. Some things were good, some things were bad, but God allowed them or God caused them either way. For the good, he caused it. For the bad, he suffered it and allowed it. For we know that all things work together for good. Not for everybody. Not for everybody. But it says, to them that love God. If you love the Lord, this is a shouting message. It is good news to you if you love the Lord. All things are working together for good. I woke up last night about 12 o'clock, 12:30 maybe. It's unusual for me to wake up that time of the night. And I was laying there, wondering why God woke me up. God gives his beloved sleep. God also will wake you up sometimes. Why did God wake me up? Well, shortly thereafter, my wife got up and went to the bathroom. She thought she woke me up. I said, no, I was already awake. So she got back in bed, and I laid there thinking. I want to tell you something, folks. The sovereignty of God is a great comfort to your heart. When you've gone through life, gone through some deep waters, when you see yourself as being a wretched, hell-deserving being, having no goodness nor merit whereby God owes you anything but eternal hell, and yet when you come to and realize and know that by God's mercy and God's grace, he has been pleased to choose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that you should be heirs of eternal life, and that God has predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that will happen in your life, in your experience personally. God will conform you personally to the image of Jesus Christ. You get excited, even if you're laying in bed. I had to get up, go read the Bible a while, because I was excited about what God impressed me with. And it was to talk to you about Romans 8:28 and about these verses here. These are common verses to you. You believe what I'm saying, you hear. I understand that. But Peter says I need to remind you about some things. And so I'm doing that because I feel the Lord impressed on me to tell you, remind you. The very habitation, where we live, Paul says in the 17th chapter of Acts, God has ordained the bounds of where we live. You say, well, I chose to live where I live. No, you didn't. God ordained you to live where you live. I chose my spouse. No, you didn't. God ordained you to have that spouse. She's God, or he's God's gift to you. I know you think you could have done better, but God said this is the best one for you. He or she will teach you a lot. I'm thankful for my wife. She's a great helpmate to me. But what we need to understand is all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. And if you're having a problem with your circumstances, you need to examine your heart about how much you love the Lord. Amen? Because you're complaining against God. Take it up with the Lord. He said all things would work together for good for them that love the Lord. Oh, I know. I do it. I get complaining sometimes. We all do it. It's human nature. That's the reason why we need to examine it ourselves when we're complaining against God. Let all things be done. In all things give thanks. For this the will of God in Christ concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says in Thessalonians. We know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All of these things were predestined for you individually, us personally, before the foundation of the world. But here's something that we want to look over. God has ordained a means whereby these things would be done in our lives. The means. He ordained Christ to come to the earth to die for your sins. It didn't just happen. It was God's predetermined plan, him being delivered by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified. God ordained the means to accomplish his predetermined plan in all of our lives. I didn't choose to come to Mississippi. I'm not complaining one bit. I'm glad to be here. But I came to Mississippi in 1981 because God led me and ordained me to come here. Everything that's happened to me since I've been in Mississippi has not always been to my, that I've enjoyed. There's been some bad things to happen. But I'll tell you what, all things that have happened by the will of God. And it's been for my good. I know that. Spiritual good. Now let me go on here. Verse 31. What should we say to these things? What are you going to say if things go contrary to what the way you want them to go? What are you going to say about circumstances that we don't like? It is the will of God. God has predetermined it for our good. Well, I don't see the good in it. That's because you don't have the mind of God. Because we're looking at temporal things. We've been dominated by the flesh. I want, I want, I want. Yes, I know what I want. It's carnality. I know what I want. The Holy Spirit must rebuke me and correct me and cause me to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done about these things. Our Lord did the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane for us. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I don't understand all that except to say it's in his human nature. And I believe that that human nature is also being influenced and controlled by the divine nature, because he knew not so much the suffering, but, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that lay in front of him. He knew the cup of sin that he must partake of. And he is saying, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You and I must constantly deal with that issue. Because God's will is a perfect will, and he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I read a lot about military things. Struggles and fights and battles. I appreciate the sacrifice that military people make. Just this past week, 5 Marines died in a plane crash here in America. Those men deserve honor and our thanksgiving. I mean, their praise, complimenting them as much as they died on the battlefield somewhere, because they were men who had submitted themselves to become soldiers, Marines. You and I constantly must deal battle with the flesh, because the carnal mind, I got it, you got it, we all got one, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. Oh, well, I'm in a bad situation. That's exactly right. That's what Paul's talking about in the 7th chapter of Romans. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? And then he says, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died to give to us individually and personally our victory over sin in our lives and our victory over the devil. It's already been done. The battle been fought. Paul will tell you in the 6th chapter of Romans, don't yield yourself to instruments of ungodliness. But now look at verse 31 again. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Which side would you rather been on when David went out to face Goliath? Well, humanly speaking, you'd rather been with the Philistines, wouldn't you? But God was with David. Now, which side do you want to be on? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things? All things, everything that we have and need in our lives and circumstances to do what? To cause us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what's going on in our life. There are things going on in my life and your life that you don't like. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And understand that what is happening around you and in you is God working in us to conform us to Christ. Let me move on quickly. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Now, I've just read this hurriedly, but I know that you're familiar with this. But I want to ask you this question. What part of these things do you want to cut out? This is part of the all things. Now here's where I really want to talk to us quickly. Verse 35. Here's where God's people, all of us, need to develop some backbone. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I know, nobody. Well, wait a minute. What about tribulation? Do you understand that God's people are predestined to experience tribulation? Predestined. The Lord said, if they've loved me, hated me, they will hate you also. Paul said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This world is not a friend of grace to help us unto God. I don't care how rich you get, how old you get, you're going to constantly have to do battle with the world, the flesh, and you're going to constantly experience tribulations. It's not your boss, it's not your spouse, it's the world, the devil, and our carnal nature that we have to deal with. That's part of the tribulation. Or distress. You're having distress? Why did God let me get into such a predicament? Why did God let me have this distress? I said, let. God suffers. God allows it. For what reason? To conform me to the image of His Son. If God loves me, why don't He give me a better job? If God loves me, why don't He give me a better house? If God loves me, why don't He give me this and this and this? My feet almost slipped, said the writer of Psalms, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. How close are your feet to sliding? My feet to sliding into distress. The writer said, because they don't have the problems that I have. No, the reason they don't have the problems that you have, because they're not born again. Tribulation, distress, persecution. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You've got a little bit all right on tribulation. I can handle that thing. And distress, I can handle that thing. But persecution, have me excused. I'm right behind you. I don't want it either. But what's the purpose of it? I've got magazines, The Voice of the Martyrs. You ought to read them. what God's people are suffering constantly. Why are they suffering? That we might be conformed to the image of His Son. Famine, nakedness, deprivation, or peril, or sword. Now here's where we're going to, verse 36. You see, Paul starts off talking about the good things. We know that all things work together for good. Oh, that's delicious. That's like when the wife tells you, I'm fixing the steak tonight, or I'm fixing roast tonight, or I'm fixing the cake for you tonight. Oh, those are all good things. Come on, bring it on. As it's written, for thy sake. Whose sake? For the Lord's sake. We are killed all the day long. That's part of what predestination includes. There's not been a child of God to die by martyrdom, but what it was not by the will of God to allow it to happen. He could have prevented it. If you don't believe so, the three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace proves it. Daniel talks in den of lions. Them lions lost their appetite all of a sudden. God shut their mouth. So God can stop and prevent things from happening, or He can allow them to happen. But whatever is going on in my life and our lives, here's where we need to understand. It's God's predestination that we can be conformed to the image of His Son. And we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You say, that don't sound good to me. The history of God's people and God's church is that we have left an impact on the world by saying we would rather die than to give up the name of Jesus Christ. Where do we stand on that? How committed are we to the Lord? We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, I'm a sheep of God. Oh, I'm in the fold of God. Oh, I've got Jesus Christ as my shepherd. Oh, it's wonderful, great. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. Wait a minute, preacher. I like this thing of Jesus Christ dying for my sins. But I don't like what you just talked about. From the flesh, I don't either. But to understand that God uses martyrdom, suffering, persecution to be a witness to the world that we live in. Please have me excused of what most Christians are saying today. And all that we are doing is complaining against the will of God. I don't like our government. Be very honest, I don't like what's going on in our politics. It's disgraceful. It's a shame what's going on. I don't know why God allowed the people that we have in government, serving in government. But I will tell you, they are there by the will of God. And whatever they decree, God has allowed it for some reason or other. I believe it is so that we might see how corrupt our nation really is. Did you ever think that you would live in a nation where they would condone and encourage same-sex marriage? Did you ever think that you would live in a country where they would be supporting and endorsing the murder of babies? How ungodly are we? How can we get any more ungodly? It's not over yet. when they begin to arrest you and put you in jail, or when they come here to shut the doors down because we don't condone what they're promoting, where will we stand then? You are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Do you believe predestination? All things are working together for good when they're going the way I want them to go. But what we have to learn and know is whatever God brings to pass in our lives, whatever we are experiencing, it is by the divine will of God who has ordained and who worketh all things after the counsel of his own good pleasure for the benefit of his people. And he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. Oh, how I love Jesus. We can sing that song when flowers are blooming all around us. But when they are marching you off to jail, what are you going to sing? Paul and Silas sang in prison, and a jailer heard them. And God used it to bring about the conversion and salvation of that man. What do your neighbors see and hear in your life? What the people that you communicate with, what do they see in your life? Are we just a bunch of complainers? Spineless people who can't stand for the truth? I am persuaded that in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. That's predestinated. That will happen. Every child of God, when the Lord Jesus comes with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up the moment to meet in the air. You know what you're going to be doing? You won't be complaining then. You'll be shouting hallelujah for the Lamb of God. Praise God who saved me from my sins. Goodbye, old world. I'm going to heaven with glorified bodies. Why? Because God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world and predestinated us individually to be conformed to the image of his Son. So what are you going to go through this week? What are you going to experience this week? I don't know. You don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever it is, it'll be by the will of God. And it'll be for the good, your spiritual good. May God be pleased to help us to thank God and praise God for his mercy and for his grace. We're nothing but poor sinners, wretched sinners. We deserve eternal hell. Every one of us. But God in his mercy and grace has been pleased to call us from darkness unto light, to give us a Redeemer who died for us and save us from our sins, and give us the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine and I'm on my way to heaven. Why? Because God chose me and predestinated me to be conformed in the image of his Son. Our Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have promised us that we should be more than conquerors. No matter what happens in our lives, we are more than conquerors because you've predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We pray for your mercy, your grace upon all of us, especially your elect people. I pray that you would be pleased, Lord, to guard over your elect people throughout the world. But, oh God, I pray that we might all be faithful and steadfast to the Lord who loved us and died for us. And I pray that you might soon hasten the day when we'll be gone from this old world and be caught up to be with Jesus forever and forever. In his dear name I pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. Man of Sorrows, what a name.